What is up, everyone? My name is Eric Davis. I am a contributing editor here at Fandango, and of course, I am with Sean O'Connell, who is a contributor here at Fandango. And we are here to talk the biggest, most anticipated pre-summer movie, pre-summer blockbuster. And is it the same movie? Is the biggest pre-summer blockbuster the most anticipated? Or are they two different movies? Sean, we have a lot of stuff coming up between now and May. I would say Iron Man 3 officially will kick off the summer movie season. So out of all of these films that come between now and May, there are a couple of really big ones in there.
Right.
There are a couple of sleepers in there. What do you think is the biggest movie, and is it also your most anticipated movie?
It would be yes and yes when I tell you that my answer is G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Wow. I didn't expect that from you, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, wow. All right.
I
Well,
did
good.
not expect that.
This is a window that I think studios need to start exploring. I think they're starting to see movies like Hunger Games come out in March and do really, really well. The summer season seems to be edging a little bit earlier every year anyway, as movies like, Fast Five comes out at the end of April. And so they have to realize that, audiences are still looking for big things to go to between February and May when the summer starts. So we know the G.I. Joe was supposed to come out last summer. It was delayed. There were reshoots. They were going to beef up Channing Tatum's role. They wanted to, I think, improve or add the 3D. Was it always going to be 3D, or was that post-conversion kind of thing?
I think it was a post-conversion thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is the movie that sort of, just drops down into March and sort of claims it as like a we're the movie that everyone's going to be talking about until the big effects summer blockbusters start coming. I'm thinking maybe it's either going to be a really smart decision for them to deliver a top-notch summer type blockbuster sequel in March, or maybe it's falling into March because they don't think it can hold its own amongst the summer blockbusters. But when you have people like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, they're bringing Bruce Willis back into it. They're, like I said, hopefully beefing up Channing Tatum's role, maybe correcting some of the things that didn't quite work in the first G.I. Joe. I think this is a really good opportunity for this movie that's coming on March 29th to just sort of stake its claim as, hey, summer starts unofficially right now. Get out of my way, Marvel superheroes. We're going to have a great time at the theater.
I agree with you, and it's funny. I was actually just thinking this week that of about the Fast and the Furious franchise and what's happening to that franchise and how it's sort of having this rebirth after its fifth installment. And I was almost thinking that G.I. Joe could be the next Fast and Furious franchise.
Ooh, it could, right? Wouldn't that be great?
Because I feel like studios are going to now look at the Fast and Furious. They looked at the Marvel and they looked at the ways they were expanding universes, and I think that's being applied, especially I think it's being applied to the Fast and Furious franchise right now as well. But they're also going to look at this franchise and say, what else can be this? And I think the G.I. Joe franchise has that potential. If they can score with two the way they scored with one, because I feel like they did score with one. They kind of delivered a film that was silly enough that it still entertained a lot of really big action fans, especially the people that grew up with G.I. Joe. So, and G.I. Joe has a wealth of guys and different crazy characters, and I feel like they can kind of almost insert different action heroes into different roles and play around with that and mix old guys and young guys like they are with Bruce Willis and The Rock and maybe throw Stallone in the next G.I. Joe and almost make it like this Expendables franchise, but for younger viewers, so I'm curious to see if two is successful in that regard. This could just it does have the potential to be the next Fast and Furious franchise, and I'm curious to see if they leave it then in March, or if they do what Universal is doing with the Fast and Furious franchise and say, no, we're coming out Memorial Day weekend now, because now we're that movie.
Could be.
I mean, when is a sixth installment of a movie ever come out on Memorial Day weekend?
But dude, tell me that shot of London, the along the Thames getting nuked didn't really perk your interest. I thought that looked really good.
No, it did. It did. And I'm interested to see the tone of it, whether or not it sticks with what the original tone, which was felt a little silly, a little over the top.
Self-aware, though. I thought it was self-aware.
And that's why I think fans respected it, and they didn't kind of just, you know, disregard it. So I'm curious to see what happens now, and where it goes from here. So we will see.
I want your pick.
My pick, you know, I was sort of wavering. It was Oblivion, mm-hmm. To start out with, because I was excited by Kaczynski's follow up and Tom Cruise. I always enjoy the fact that it's an original sci-fi blockbuster, which we rarely get to see.
Right.
And so I was excited by that, but I'm a little turned off by the placement of it. It's like coming out a week before Iron Man 3.
Which is going to be just dominating everything in its path.
Which is going to be dominating everything. And it feels like After Earth, like Elysium, all this, these three movies coming out this summer that all sort of feel the same. And
right, right.
I don't know if the trailers have been selling me enough on it. So I'm sliding it into my number two slot as most anticipated. But I'll be honest with you, my number one right now is Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, you know, Sam Raimi. I'm excited to see I've always been excited to see the world of Oz with the current technology. I always, you know, they've made a ton of Wizard of Oz movies all over the place over the years, but I've always been interested to say, okay, now with the kind of technology we have now, let's take a filmmaker who has this really great imagination and inject that back into the world of Oz that we know.
Right.
And I like the fact that they're tying it to the original Wizard of Oz, and it's sort of like a prequel to that. Mm-hmm. And now we get to go back to Oz with characters we know, and see what it looks like with current technology, with Sam Raimi, who is just a wicked craftsman behind the camera,
right.
A really great cast, and
great.
And I feel like if there's a movie that you're gonna want to see in 3D before the summer, and I even think at the end of the year, when all is said and done, and we're talking about the best movies that came out in 3D that were actually worth seeing in 3D, I think we're going to be talking about Oz the Great and Powerful. I really trust what they're doing with that movie. And I'm curious to see if it takes off. And I think it's my most anticipated movie of this time period. I also think it's going to be the biggest movie of this time period. Disney had success with Alice in Wonderland in this spot, and
right.
I think this is going to be a much better movie than Alice in Wonderland. And so I think not only did they do well in that spot, but I think the buzz off this movie is going to help it become one of the billion-dollar movies of 2013. We'll see. I'm curious. And I want to see it. And I want to see if Sam Raimi knocks this out of the park, then does Sam Raimi now go to Disney? Are we talking about Sam Raimi doing a Marvel movie? Are we talking about Sam Raimi doing a Star Wars movie?
Ooh.
You know, so I feel like when a director really hits a home run for Disney, they like to kind of bring him in,
right.
Bring them in and give him a couple of more movies. And so I'm hoping Sam Raimi knocks it out of the park, and then I'm hoping Disney plays in the sand pit with Raimi for a little while, and I'm hoping we see some good things come out of it.
If I'm Sam Raimi, I'm just too intimidated to take on that property. I just can't wrap my brain around potentially tying something to The Wizard of Oz. It'd be like trying to, you know, explore the early days of Charles Foster Kane and Citizen Kane. Certain properties you just don't touch unless I guess you have a script that's so rock solid, you know, that you just know you're going to be able to please people because you're setting yourself up for a big fall. So I'm anxious to see how Oz the Great and Powerful plays.
Yeah, to a certain degree, I agree with that. But I also feel like The Wizard, you know, this is a children's tale. It's a children's world. It's a movie we all watched as children. Mm-hmm. And I felt like even after watching The Wizard of Oz and even after growing up with this movie, I always felt like there was so much potential in the land of Oz that they just didn't have the means to put on screen back in the day. And,
right.
And looking at everything I've seen from this movie, as cluttered as the poster has been, which has driven me nuts, mm-hmm. I really feel like they're going to, in terms of movies with imagination, yeah, they're touching a property that's a holy grail in terms of, you know, cinema history.
Sure.
in terms of a movie with imagination, and being able to play around with a world that we are familiar with, and there's pieces that you're familiar with, but we're going to inject a whole bunch of imagination that they never have been able to do before with this world of Oz. That excites me, you know? Why not? Why not? Let people play, you know? Whenever I hear people say, they can't touch this property, why not? The property still exists.
Yeah, true. It's very true.
Back and watch The Wizard of Oz, and you can pretend the Oz the Great and Powerful doesn't exist if you don't like it. But let people play. Let people create. I mean, there are talented people that made this movie, and so I hope it succeeds.
I have to laugh that somebody just recently said to me, they're like, yeah, I saw the trailer for that Oz Great and Powerful. It looks really weird. I'm like, weird compared to The Wizard of Oz? The Wizard of Oz is a pretty weird movie, too.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's a weird movie, and I hope it does well. So we'll see. So to recap, Sean, it's most anticipated. The biggest movie coming out between now and summer is G.I. Joe 2, Retaliation.
Retaliation.
Which is a good choice. And mine is Oz the Great and Powerful. Really hope to see good things from Sam Raimi. And he's the kind of filmmaker that you want to see be successful because he is a pleasant man. Who really loves movies, who's one of the few directors that still calls them pictures, which I always like. Him and Scorsese, it's always about the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll both look really silly when Pain and Gain makes $1 billion worldwide.
Let me tell you something. That's my number three most anticipated.
Good, it should be.
I'm dying to see Michael Bay be released from the hell that is the Transformers franchise.
With The Rock again. So basically, if you put The Rock in any movie, it's going to do well.
Yeah. He's big right now. He is big. Okay. And speaking of The Rock, you know, we're going to talk about this weekend's new releases in our next segment. So stay tuned.